Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Everybody wishes they were born with thicker skin, but the wound is where the light gets in. That message, brimming with hope in the midst of pain, is at the heart of the newest musical effort from Jason Gray. The singer-songwriter, a product of the Upper Midwest, offers up his latest heartfelt music in the new album, Where the Light Gets In. It releases on June 17th, but this weekend, we have a chance to talk with the man himself, getting a window into the story of the record and a journey of faith, perseverance, and a music that means something. So a blessed day to you, Jason. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. And thank you for introducing me by quoting that lyric. Of all the lyrics that you could quote, I love that that's the one that you gravitated towards. So that's so great. It's I would say that is the core message of the work that I've been doing, personally and also on my new record and stuff. So I love that.
Oh, absolutely, brother. I mean, that was one that just spoke to me very, very clearly out of what you've done. And there's some really profound thoughts on this album. But I wonder, with an album release just a week away, I mean, at this point, are you sort of just basically flying between point A and point B right now as fast as you can humanly go?
Yeah, you know, it's starting to be that way. Yeah, like I've enjoyed the calm for the storm for the last couple of weeks, and now we're starting to ramp up. But I mean, I love that, and I love all of that means, which is that I get to begin to share the stories that have been on my heart for the last year and a half, 2 years, or all my life, really. But so yeah, and it means I get to have conversations with people like you, Ryan.
Yes, indeed. And it's so great to chat with you, Jason. I mean, you've mentioned before in shows that I've seen of yours that it's pretty fun to be performing new stuff. I've heard you say that it's almost like applying new song spray to your act sometimes. Talk a little bit about how much fun that is for an artist.
I'm happy to play the older songs too, you know, especially the older songs I'll play are usually the songs that people have heard on the radio and that people have a relationship with.
Sure.
And they're the ones that people come to the concert wanting to hear, and that is such an honor. It's gratifying that people have adopted my songs into their lives, you know, and care about them. I mean, wow, that's just a real gift, you know, and so it's a privilege to get to play those songs, for people who want to hear them. But then, you know, there's also the story happening in my own life I'm glad you want to hear those songs, but I also want to tell you about this, because this is what's on my mind today and what's happening in my life right now. And so there's an excitement around the new songs and things that I can't wait to share with you and all that kind of stuff, you know. So I do, you know, I used to work for company up in the Minneapolis area called Youth Frontiers, and we would go into into high schools, and junior high schools, each day of the week, and we would do this day-long retreat with the whole class, where we would talk with them about character virtues like respect and kindness and courage and all that kind of stuff. And it was like camp, a week of camp that we would do in one day for the class, you know. And it was very specifically designed, where we would go in and we, you know, like begin like with a dance party and then these icebreaker games and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And we were doing the same thing every day, but we had to learn the art of doing it again as for the first time, and recognize that even though it's the 23rd time that we have done this retreat in a month, it's the first time for these kids, you know.
Yeah.
And that was a very valuable thing to learn early on, you know, just which is making it more about the people that you are sharing with than it is, you know, about me. And so a song like Remind Me Who I Am, if I were only thinking about myself, I'd be like, oh, I've played the song an awful lot, you know, and it's, you know, but if I'm serving the audience, then it feels new every time I play it, you know. And so that's a tool for service that I've been grateful to have in my life.
It's a tremendous story. And I don't think we think about that so much because for so many of us, you know, we'll listen to a song on an album and then we'll move along to the next album, or we'll catch you in concert maybe once a year or something of that nature. But of course, you are out there every night after night on tour.
Yeah.
So that, I think that helps us almost put us in your place a little bit more without the, you know, the tremendous musical talent. Of course, we're not there yet, but we can understand where you're coming from a little bit more.
Yeah.
Jason Gray is with us, the recording artist, a native upper Midwesterner, and he's releasing his newest record, Where the Light Gets In, on June the 17th. There's also a special CD release concert if you're nearby the Twin Cities. That's coming to Maple Grove's Church of the Open Door on the night of the 18th, just the day after the release. And you can find much more about the record, pre-order the record, find out more about the concert on Jason's website. And what is the website, by the way, Jason?
JasonGrayMusic.com.
Perfect.
Well, if you were to go to JasonGray.com, it's a guy up in Canada who does Irish orchestral music, and he even looks a little bit like me. And so you go there and think, oh, wow, he's gone a new direction with his music, but that's actually not me. So
fair enough. Well, that is an important thing to know. There. We appreciate that. You know, as we talked about just off the top, the new record really does have some profound things to say. And, you know, as you listen today, you very likely heard the single Sparrows on radio already. And Jason, man, I just love this section of that song where you declare you can't change a single thing by freaking out. It's just going to close you in. Oh, don't let the trouble win. What was the heart for that song, and where did it come from for you?
I think hell's greatest weapons against our heart are shame and fear. And both of those things want to rule us. They want to be lord over our lives, and they want to make all of our decisions for us, you know.
Yeah.
And so Sparrows is specifically addressing fear. You know, God knows how inclined to fear we are, and so there are hundreds of verses where over and over again he says, do not be afraid. And one of the most poignant, I believe, is in Acts chapter 6, where Jesus is speaking, and he knows how fragile we can be in our anxiety, and so he just uses this very tender intimate language when he says, look at the birds of the air, look at the flowers of the field, see how they are cared for and provided for. And don't you know that you are worth so much more than birds and flowers? Mm-hmm. I love how gentle he is, because, of course, you know, fear is also a kind of idolatry in our lives, you know. But he comes to us with such compassionate understanding, you know, and speaks so tenderly in that moment. And I don't know. I think too, you know, like I was reading this book about how we are in an age of chronic anxiety, and one of the things that is symptomatic of a culture of chronic anxiety is that we will always vote out the incumbent, you know. So because we're stressed out, we're afraid, and so we begin to put our hope in a person who we hope, if they lead us, they can solve all the problems.
Yeah.
And of course, the problems are so complex, and they require long-term plans, you know, that no one person who we put in office will be able to fix all those things. Mm-hmm. And so if we are a culture of chronic anxiety, we will vote a Democrat into the office, and then four or 8 years after that, we will vote a Republican in the office, and then go back to a Democrat, and then back to a Republican, because we're like, you know, well, he didn't do anything, so let's see what this other person could do, and we go back and forth. You know, I think we see that in our culture now, and in our own lives. And we can also begin to gravitate towards people who are confident, and we can value confidence above everything else.
Yep.
Because, we feel insecure, and, oh, here's a person who seems confident, so that must mean they have the answer, you know. And then, as a culture, we respond to that. I think we see that happening, you know, right now in this election. And so it's very clear that we are a culture of anxiety. And God knows that, and is so compassionate with us, and so gently pursues us, and tries to... He's always making himself available to us as an alternative to our fear and anxiety.
Wow. That is a very hopeful picture that you paint right there, that he is available even in the midst of all of the craziness that's taking place. Jason Gray is with us today, a recording artist, a native upper Midwesternite, and he's releasing his newest record, Where the Light Gets In, on June the 17th, and there's a special CD release concert that's coming up if you're near the Twin Cities on the 18th at the Church of the Open Door in Maple Grove, and you can read more about that on Jason's website. I want to ask you another question about the album in just a moment, but one of the most amazing parts of your story is your speech impediment. Jason, at what point in your life did you start to deal with that, and how has it impacted you as a person and perhaps as an artist as well?
Yeah, you know, I think it's been a wonderful teacher in my life. I used to be very anxious about it, especially as I began to be aware of God's calling in my life. And I used to argue with him about it, saying, Lord, you can't make me your spokesperson until you make it so I can speak, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever had this experience or not, but... when you tell God that he can't do something, it's kind of like a dare that he can't refuse, right? And so, hey, that's why I do what I do, because I lost a dare with the Lord. But I used to think that it would be an obstacle and a problem that I'd have to overcome. I used to also think that that he would heal me of it, and that that would be my story, that my testimony would be, I used to have this problem, and then God healed it, and now I don't have it anymore. And so I went through a season of disillusionment when it began to be clear that, I don't think you're going to heal me of this. But then I began to recognize that though he wasn't going to heal me of my speech impediment, that he wasn't bringing a lot of healing to me through my speech impediment, and that there were things that I learned, and there were things that he was able to get access to in my heart because I had a bearable humiliation of having a speech handicap, you know. And then I also began to, first of all, because a big part of the value of our brokenness or our imperfection is it becomes a place where again and again we meet with the Lord. He meets us there, and we learn dependence there and trust, and we learn His lordship there, you know, in places where we are competent. It's harder for us to learn those things, you know, but in our brokenness, that becomes a very intimate meeting place with the Lord. And my speech handicap was the first place where I began to learn that. It's really the least of my brokenness, but it was the first place where I began to understand that. And then I also began to recognize it as this gift in my life. Because I think that you probably like me more because I have a speech impediment. it's just as the more you and I spoke with each other and the more I learned of your imperfection and your brokenness, that make me like you more too. And it makes us able to be vulnerable with each other too, because if you are open and honest about your brokenness, and I can see that, I'm like, oh, he's not perfect either. And that means I don't have to hide anymore. That means I don't have to pretend. And then all of a sudden, we can have a real human connection, where the grace of God is a reality too, you know? And so I began to discover that my very obvious brokenness created a safe place for my audience, I believe, to let down and be a part of a grace-filled conversation. I also believe this too, you know, there's that scripture that says, wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am.
Yeah.
And before that, too, there's a verse in James that says, confess your sins one to another that you might be healed.
Sure.
I used to think that wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am with them. I used to think that that was kind of like a formula, where if there was something that I was really serious about and really wanted God to hear me about, that what I had to do is I had to get somebody else to come and pray with me. And if there were two of us, then he would know I really meant it, and then he'd be there with us. Mm. You know? And which is a very manipulative way of looking at that verse, I suppose. Like, okay, this is what I have to do to get God to do what I want, you know?
Right.
But I understand that verse differently now. I understand that Christ is living in you, and Christ is living in me, that He's alive, He's living and moving inside of each of us. Therefore, when we come together, we bring Jesus to each other. And when we can do that authentically, and we don't feel like we have to hide anymore, we can be open about our brokenness and all that kind of stuff, then, you know, I think there's opportunity for healing to happen in our lives when we bring that part of our lives to each other, and we bring Jesus to each other, you know. And so those are all things that I've learned. I began to learn because I had a speech handicap. And I think that my audience gets to experience some form of that because I'm very obviously imperfect.
That's an inspiring story right there. Thank you so much for sharing about that. Jason Gray's with us, a recording artist, a native upper Midwesterner, and he's releasing his newest record, Where the Light Gets In, on June the 17th. And we're here on the road for Faith Radio. I wanted to ask you about your time as an independent artist, Jason, because you've not had the cookie cutter journey, so to speak. You spent a good amount of time as an independent artist, honing your craft and being really just persevering. And then, of course, getting discovered, as they say. And the question really is about that period before the national recognition and people singing your songs along on the radio. What was that time like for you? And did you ever consider maybe looking aside from the dream that you had, maybe taking another road?
Oh, every day. Every day. I battled discouragement all along the way. And you know, I still do in a lot of ways, you know. It would be easy for me to compare myself to other artists and the success that they have. And so I think that's always there, you know, that voice is always there in all of us. Trying to talk us out of the path that we believe we're supposed to be on, you know. And a lot of that has to do with expectations we have of what it should look like, you know. But I, you know, I remember reading an article with Tom Hanks when somebody asked him what the secret to his success was, and he said, "I didn't go away." You know, I just kind of kept at it until they couldn't ignore me anymore. And I get that, you know. And yet, I also know that there are people who have worked hard and been faithful, and the break has never come, yep. And yet they remain faithful. And that is a beautiful thing to me, even though I know it's kind of very painful. But if there's something that we believe that we are called to, and one of the ways, you know, like Frederick Buechner, who's an author, he said, "The place that you are called to is where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger intersect." The place that you are called to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger intersect. And if you know where that place is and you believe that that's what you are called to do, then, you know, a lot of times I don't think we have a choice but to do it, whether anything comes of it or not, you know. So it becomes a thing that we have to do.
Or we end up like Jonah, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a great word from Jason Gray, the recording artist. His newest work, Where the Light Gets In, is releasing on June the 17th. You've already heard the single Sparrows, hopefully many times on the radio. Such a great song, and we've been able to hear the heart behind this tremendous music today here on the road. And Jason, just as we say farewell, our time going very briskly here today on the road, I mean, what's the best place for people to head out and get the music as it releases on the 17th? I think you can even pre-order it from the website, right?
Yeah. You can pre-order it. It's on iTunes, or better yet, come hang out with us on Saturday. It's going to be so fun. It's going to be awesome. The 18th.
That's right. The 18th at Church of the Open Door in Maple Grove, Minnesota, if you happen to be nearby the Twin Cities. And, of course, more details on Jason's website. Brother, it's just been fantastic to have you here today. Thanks so much for taking some time out of what we know is a real busy schedule right now for you.
Thank you for having me. I'm grateful to get to have these moments, and I'm grateful for your support. And thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.